Good morning, beloved, and welcome to our 14th part of the privileges of believers. It has been such a blessing to look at all the privileges that we have. And let me tell you, I'm just touching on some of it. There are so much in Scripture about the privileges that we receive as God's people. And today is part 14. Last week, if you can recall, we looked at the privilege that we have to be united in God and in Christ Jesus, and that we have the privilege to, of committing ourselves to Christ, okay, and to call on God when we are in trouble. Amazing privileges that you and I have as God's people. So before we continue though, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. And thank you, Father, for the privilege of prayer, that we can come boldly to your throne of grace and speak to you, the living Almighty God, and know that you hear our prayers. Not because we deserve it, Father, but because you are God and you decided that you want us to pray, and you will enable us through your Spirit to pray. So, Father, I pray this morning, will you please open up our hearts to receive your word, our minds to understand your word, and give us feet and hands and a mouth to go and apply your word in our lives, we pray in Jesus' precious name. And enable me as your servant to teach your people, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. The first privilege that we look at today is the privilege to suffer for Christ. Now, immediately, I mean, the hair just stands up on our backs and we say, what? How can it be a privilege to suffer for Christ? Well, beloved, we look at the world completely in a different way than the world looks at the world. We look at life from a biblical perspective. We look at life from the perspective of how God has revealed life to us. We don't look at life from a perspective of an unsaved person. Even though we are in this world, even though we experience all kinds of things that everybody experiences, but when it comes to suffering, when it comes to experience persecution, when it comes to things that we experience that others do not experience, we look at it from a biblical perspective. Right, so, let me just say it this way. If we suffer affliction specifically, if we suffer persecution, there are people that would look at it and say, yeah, just look at what God does. Nah, God doesn't even protect his own people. God cannot even look after his children. He allows the world to come and afflict, cause affliction. God allows, sinners, godless, evil people to come and persecute his own people. But beloved, let me just take you quickly to a passage of Scripture that I think is very, very important. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, we read, therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. And then Paul writes and he says, verse 5, this is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. Now, these are huge words. Verse 4 starts off with saying, therefore, we ourselves boast about you. That word therefore normally connects it to what was said before. And the Apostle Paul was saying before, he praises God, he thanks God for the fact that they are growing in their faith, and that their faith is abundant, and that their love for one another is also increasing all the time. He says, therefore, we boast about you in the churches of God. So what Paul was doing is, he is saying that he was boasting about the Thessalonians among the other churches, because they were growing in faith, they were being abundant in their faith, they were growing and becoming more and more, secure in their love for one another. And then he says, but not only that, But he says also in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. He says even though they were being persecuted, even though they were experiencing afflictions, which means they were suffering, they were growing in their faith in God, and they were growing in their love for one another. This is amazing. He says, and the fact that it's possible for them to grow in their faith, now to be increase in their faith, and the fact that they can have love for one another, even while they are suffering afflictions, even while they are being persecuted, he says, it is evidence of the righteous judgment of God. Wow. So the fact that the Thessalonian believers were able to grow in their faith and to have love for one another in the midst of suffering, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of affliction, is proof that God is going to judge the unsaved. It actually is a reason why God is going to judge the unsaved, because God's people are growing in faith, they are growing in love for one another, and because they are growing in faith and love for one another, it is proof that God is rightfully allowed, in a sense, to judge the ungodly. You hear this? This is huge. In verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, this is what we read. He says, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you. There's God's judgment. Those who afflict you, those who afflict God's people, God finds it a just thing to afflict them. It's like a repayment that God gives to them. It doesn't happen immediately. Sometimes God does. Now, repay the afflictions that is brought unto his children. There are times that God would definitely repay immediately. But in the context of Thessalonians, the judgment will come in the future. Okay? Now in verse 7 he says, to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us, because Paul includes himself as people who were afflicted, God's people who were afflicted, when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. Wow! Beloved, it's just kind of an upside down way of looking at affliction, an upside down way of looking at persecution and suffering for the sake of Christ, isn't it? That yes, we are afflicted now. Yes, we are persecuted now. Yes, we are experiencing suffering now for the sake of Christ. Alright, this is for the sake of Christ and for the gospel, nah? But when this happens, when we are afflicted, when we are persecuted, and yet we remain in the faith, and we grow in our faith in Christ, and we increase in our faith, and our love, and in our love for one another, that is proof that God will judge the unsaved, those who are persecuting God's people now. That's proof that God is going to judge them one day, and he's going to righteously judge them one day. This is just absolutely amazing. So in that sense, beloved, we have the privilege to suffer for the sake of Christ, because God will one day inflict suffering and punishment, eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord on those who caused the affliction now and here. It's as if God is going to give relief one day for his saints. He speaks about it in verse 7, that he will grant relief to you who are afflicted when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven. You see, once again, beloved, God is looking at things from an eternal perspective, not in the perspective of here and now. is looking at life with an eternal perspective. And from an eternal perspective, God allows affliction, God allows persecution now and here, so that He can bring judgment rightfully, bring judgment upon those who caused affliction here and now, and give relief to His saints who have been experiencing persecution and affliction. But the fact that we are being persecuted and we are strong in the faith, that we increase in our faith, and that we have love for one another, even though we are afflicted, even though we are persecuted, that is proof that God will one day rightfully judge the unsaved when Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven. But there's another text that I would like to share with you with regards to this. That is in Acts chapter 5 verse 41. You know, this is the disciples when they were persecuted for preaching Christ, preaching the name of Jesus Christ among the Jews. And verse 41 of Acts chapter 5, it says, "And they departed from the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name." What? This is a completely different way of looking at suffering, isn't it? They could suffer shame for His name. Remember that at that specific stage, Peter and the other apostles received 39 lashes each. And it was done unjustly to them. But what happened? They counted it joy. They actually rejoicing in the fact that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Christ. Oh, beloved, this is such a different way of looking at persecution and suffering, isn't it? So in this sense, it is a privilege for believers to suffer for Christ. Just because we look at suffering and persecution and affliction in a completely different way. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 29, we read, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake." Yeah, beloved, once again, this is just beyond our understanding, isn't it? It's beyond human understanding that suffering is a grace, because that word that is used for granted. Let me just read Philippians 1 verse 29 for you again. It says, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." That word granted in the Greek is a verb, which basically that comes from the noun for grace. So, listen to this, beloved. This is just absolutely amazing. Faith is a gift granted to us by grace. Eh? We received the gift of grace when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To have saving faith is a gift that God has granted us because of His grace. But beloved, to suffer on behalf of Christ is also a grace. That's basically what it means, what that word we are granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe. And that granted means we are granted the grace to believe. We are also granted the grace to suffer for the sake of Christ. Wow. That is so huge. So those people who suffer for the sake of Christ have received grace sufficient enough to be able to handle the suffering. That's basically what it means. It's exactly the same. Those who are saved one day, who go into the presence of the Almighty God, who see Christ face to face, they have been granted the grace to be saved. Alright, so we have also been granted. Those who suffer for the sake of Christ have been granted grace to suffer for the sake of Christ. The same grace for salvation and the same grace to suffer for Christ. Oh, it's so beautiful. Absolutely amazing. Beloved, but there's another privilege that we have. And once again, it's also one of those privileges that we say, no, it doesn't make sense. And that is the grace. It's the privilege to profit when God chastises us. We profit from God's chastisement. Listen to Psalm 119 verse 67. This is what the psalmist says. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Wow. The psalmist says, I now keep your word. And why am I able to keep your word now? It's because I was afflicted. That affliction just basically means I was chastised by God. I was disciplined by God. Né? So the psalmist tells us that he went astray. Okay, before he was chastised, before he was afflicted by God, before he was disciplined by God, he went astray. And then came God's discipline. And the result of God's discipline is he is now keeping God's word. Can you see the prophet in God's chastisement upon his people? How God's discipline profits his people? There are times that God's people will go astray. They will do things that are not in line with God's word. They will do things contrary to God's word. And when they do that, when they go astray like that, what is going to happen is God will discipline his own. It just happens like that. But there's always profit in there. There's always something that God grants. And in the case when he grants, affliction or discipline or chastisement upon us, it is for our profit in the sense, the psalmist says that we will then keep his word. That's one of the profits we have for being chastised by God. We read, of course, in Hebrews chapter 12, we read about chastisement, maybe the chapter about God's discipline. we read in verse 10 that we are chastised by God for our own profit. It's like for our own spiritual good. That's why we are chastened by God. That's why we are chastised. That's why we are chastened by God. That's why we are disciplined by God. It's for our own spiritual good. It's for our profit. And what does he say? What is the profit that we get out of it? Is that we are partakers of his holiness. Yo, beloved, that's amazing. That we can become partakers of his holiness. Remember the word says to us, scripture teaches us, be holy for I am holy. And for us to be holy is at times necessary for God to discipline us. For God to chastise us. For God to cause affliction to come upon us, which is part of his chastisement, né? Part of his discipline. And that comes upon us so that we can partake in his holiness, so that we can be holy as he is holy, so that we can resemble what it is to be Christ-like. Then verse 11 says, now, beloved, no chastising seems to be joyful for the present, but it's painful. And that's so true, hey? Chastisement for us is painful. It's not something that we are joyful about. He says, nevertheless, afterwards, after we have been chastised and we are profited by our chastisement, as we receive the profit from our discipline, beloved, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Or those who have been exercised by it. At the end of the day, we will do God's righteous works. We will do what God wants us to do. And that's a fact, because that's the result. That's the profit that comes from God's chastisement of his own people. That is what comes from the discipline. Just think about it, beloved. Looking at the profit that we receive. Now, as a privilege, the profits that we get from God's chastisement. How many times have God chastised you and me? How many times have we been chastised? And at the end of the day, we just we came closer to Christ. We lived a holy life, holier life. We started doing what God wanted us to do. We started living the right way that God wanted us to live. And it's all because we were disciplined by God. Beloved, because that's what God does. God's discipline is a privilege for us as believers, because we will always profit out of it. And I pray, beloved, that during this week to come, maybe you are being chastised by God now. And if you are chastised by Him, remember, there's great profit in being chastised by God. All right, so we looked at two privileges that we have as believers. The first one is, we have the privilege to suffer for the sake of Christ. And then we also have the privilege to profit when God chastises us, when God disciplines us. Oh, beloved, this is just absolutely amazing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you again in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, for the privileges that we have as believers, and that we can look at it from a spiritual perspective, from a biblical perspective, and not from a worldly perspective. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you that you chastise us and that we profit from it. And thank you so much that we are able to suffer for the sake of Christ, and that it is because of your grace that we are able to do that. Oh, Father, go with us during this week, and may we just live the privileges that we have. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, beloved, thank you very much for listening to this Bible study on the privileges of believers. This is the 14th part. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace. Until next time, God willing, bye-bye.